Let us pray. Jesus, I thank you for your local church. I thank you for this church, Lord Jesus, and many other churches in the city of Auckland, God, that is about your kingdom, values you, Jesus, and upholds you, Father. And Lord, I pray that you'll only allow me to speak the words you want me to speak. And I pray that you open people's hearts, that people would walk away here wanting to know you more, more passionate about you, and wanting a desire to read your word, to know you, God, and desperate for you, Jesus, and that they would get their hearts prepared and ready for the fast, prayer and fast coming up in a few weeks. And I pray that it would honor you, Jesus, and they would all follow you like we've never followed you before. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Okay. As Pastor Richard alluded to, our sermon series in the next 5 weeks, I have the privilege and honor to talk to you about grace. Say grace.
Grace.
The book of Ephesians, just to give you a little bit of background on the book of Ephesians is written by the Apostle Paul in prison. Now, you have to understand, try and picture yourself in the most difficult position. You've been persecuted in prison, and you're writing this letter to the church. And he begins off in chapter 1 by addressing the church as the saints. And he has this, the thing I like about Paul, he always starts off his letters by saying, good stuff, right? Hey, you're awesome. Have you ever met somebody and you have something in your heart you really want to share with them? Like, they're kind of in trouble. And you always say, hey, man, how's your day? You look great today. And then, but boom. What I really wanted to say was, the Apostle Paul's letters is all kind of through like that. He starts off, grace to you, my brothers and sisters. You are, Jesus died for you. You are, you know, you're already going to heaven. You are citizens in heaven. And he just keeps going in chapter 1 and saying all the good stuff. And then in chapter 2, he begins to kind of dive into sort of a gentle way of saying, okay, you guys are in every nation central. You used to live a certain way. You used to live a certain way that wasn't good. But thank God, by the grace of God, you are saved by grace through faith. Thank God you're here. You are serving Jesus. The audience that the Apostle Paul was talking to were Christians. So thank goodness I'm talking to an audience that are believers. Let's just assume that you are a believer because he addresses them as saints. Saints meaning the faithful one. The one who is faithfully following Jesus as a disciple of Jesus. I hope that some of these things I'm saying to you will help you go home and read the whole book of Ephesians and kind of test what Jared was talking about. Was it true? I really hope that you will go and search the scripture for yourself because this book of Ephesians is very important. It actually brings everything together. It's kind of one of the most formal letters of the Apostle Paul as he begins to address the church of Ephesians. So if you are a faithful follower of Jesus, you fast regularly, you read your word, you reach people, you preach the gospel, that's you. That's you he's talking to. When you read the book of Ephesians, he's talking to you. Faithful. But because in the last 2 weeks, every nation central haven't had a service, because you guys have had family meetings and eating banquets, myself ate too much. Thank God for his grace because, you know, if you're like my size right now, like my daughter's keeping me accountable of my abs, more like an abba, thank God for his grace that we can push the button and start again. That's what Paul is about to talk about. Thank God for his grace that we can start again. For some of us, we may not be that faithful. We may not have been that faithful disciple. So, now I'm going to go straight to chapter 2, verse 4. I think it's best if you guys can help me do the clicking. Let's start verse 4. Now remember the context. He's talking to Christian saints, faithful one. But God, you see how he changes the term, but God. But before these verses, the verses before that, he was telling them, hey, remember this is the way you used to live? You used to live this way. Let's not go back there. Verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, wow, because of the great love, his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Excuse me, I'm a very practical person. Say, seated in Christ. In the heavenly places. What is he talking about? It means you are saved. Stop worrying about whether you're not saved. And just be a disciple and chill. Just chill. Seated in Christ, because you know where Jesus is today. Where? What's he doing? Is he standing up like this, anxious? Oh my gosh, every night's essential. Don't do that. Oh my gosh, don't. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like helicopter parents? Their kids are like, oh. We were in Waiheke and we were watching my daughter. I guess this is the privilege of having four kids. You're kind of used to, when it's your first child, you're like a helicopter parent. And, you know, like, oh, watching everything. Is he breathing? Is she breathing? You know, we're watching these two kids. They're like 2 years old and we're like, me and my brother are like, first child. And they're like, oh, don't touch the sand. Oh, don't touch it. And they're like so anxious about her. And I'm like, and here's Zoe comes along, climbs up the steps. And I'm sitting there, ah, if she falls, she'll be okay. She's like swinging. They're like, ah. And they're looking at me. You're a horrible parent. You know, what's wrong with you? I'm like, ah, it's okay. I'm like, God is not up there. So anxious. Jesus, like, it's like, but I've already died on the cross for your salvation. Why are you so worried about? I already said it is finished. Say, sit. Tell your neighbor, stay seated. Stay seated. Now I want your mind to stay seated. The Bible talks about having the mind of Christ is to tell your mind, stay seated in terms of salvation. And tell the devil where he belongs. I'm seated. You're not my mate, but I'm seated. I know where you're going. Because Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So whenever you're in trouble, something happens wrong, sit down. Thank you, Jesus. All is well. Don't panic. Because Jesus did it all. Amen? So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. If you're not seated, you will never experience the richness of Christ. Because you're all so anxious and worried about everything when you are saying you're a Christian, you will not experience the richness of Christ. The mercy, the greatness, the love. Sometimes some of us, we just need to sit at the foot of the cross and be. Stop trying. Just be. You got some of you have been saved for a while, long time, 10 years, 20 years. If you're just still battling, please don't battle anymore. The war has already been won 2,000 years ago. Sit down. Breathe. It's okay. And then verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift. Everyone say gift. Yes. See, somehow, some cultures have a hard time sort of, I mean, if you ask any kids, a gift is a gift. You give a gift to a kid, they're not going to pay you back. They know it's a gift, yeah? But sometimes as Christians, when we grow a little older, it's also we have this thing that we grew up with where if you do good to me, you owe me good later. And that when it seeps into your theology in your head, it messes you up. 10 years ago, somebody did me a favor, therefore I'm so anxious to pay them back. If you're still operating that, I'm glad you're here this morning, because I'm going to set you free. In Jesus' name. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to go really fast, so please forgive me. I have very limited time. The only other example that I personally know of that would explain this grace to you, in my opinion, is another parable that Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 15. Can we go there?
Yes.
Lots of reading this morning. Hey, Happy New Year. Back to the Bible. Okay, so this is the parable. Now, whenever you see in your Bible it says the parable of the prodigal son, it should never be called the prodigal son, because it's not about the prodigal son. It's about two sons and the father. Let's read. What is grace? Let's define grace. Grace can be variously defined as God's favor towards the unworthy or God's unmerited favor. Basically mean it's God's favor upon you that you do not deserve, because Jesus died on the cross, right? We all deserve to go to hell, but Jesus loved you so much. He came for you. Another good example, really quick before we get into. Remember the Apostle Peter? How many times did Peter backslide or lied, according to the Bible? Three times, yeah? Right, for those that are, two of you that are writing notes, in John chapter 21, where did Jesus go? Looking for Peter? Fishing, yeah? What did Peter do before he followed Jesus? Fishing, yeah? Jesus went back and spoke to him how many times?
Three.
Let that settle in. Peter let him down. Jesus went back and restored him by saying three times, "Do you love me?" When we fall away from Christ and walk away, we usually go back to where we are comfortable in doing. Jesus comes back and finds you exactly where you are, and you're back there. He didn't come and condemn you. He came and said, "Hey, come. It's all right. You're still a great man." And I believe Jesus is talking to some of you today. But there's grace for you today. The Bible talks a lot about grace, where his grace is sufficient for you, for his power is made perfect in your weaknesses. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell within you. There's hope this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
But let's go to this parable. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off to a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods and the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against between heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Now, you have to understand. See, the father, his wealth was divided to his two sons. Okay, this is the story where the one son has decided, "I want my inheritance now." Okay, we live in a generation that wants things what? Now. They're not willing to wait. They're not willing to save. They're not willing to invest. They're not willing to do anything of that. They just want it now, 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 like my little kids. "Daddy, where are we there yet? Daddy, can we get this? Can we get that?" I'm like, they have no idea. That's right, because they have no idea. They're that young. They have no idea. We want things now, quick. We live in a culture where it's microwave everything, drive through everything. We want everything quick, even spiritual things. We want it microwave. We don't want to spend time in the Word. We want to go to YouTube and get everything from someone else's revelation and not our own. Jesus longs to speak to you. Jesus longs to talk to you. Jesus longs to reveal to you things that are amazing just for you, because he loves you. Not because what you do for him. Everything to do because he loves you. You didn't earn anything. We can't give anything back to God. What do we have to give to him? He has everything. Our worship is all I can give to him. My adoration and my worship. That's it. But he gave everything. So he got up and went to his father. Okay, verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. This son, okay, the younger son, I'm going to make it this side, okay? Younger son on this side, your right side. The younger son represents a lot of us here that are very obvious. These are the people that have left church, away from God. They're the obvious one, you know. They nightclub, they sleep around, you know, everything that you know sin. And the whole church knows that these people are, right? We categorize them, we put them in boxes, and we condemn them sometimes unintentionally, but the point is made, yeah? A lot of us have friends like that. Could be you in this room, you know, that this son represents, this story represents all of us in this room at some point. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on the finger, sandals, put a ring on it. bring the fat calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Number 25. Meanwhile. Everyone say meanwhile.
Meanwhile.
The older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fat calf because he has him back safe and sound. Boy, was he upset. The older brother became
angry
and protested and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded. See, even the father went back to him and pleaded with him. It wasn't like the father favored the younger son that came. The father was gracious and compassionate to both. This older brother is a good boy. He knows all the theologies. He knows everything from Genesis to Revelation. He does everything his father told him. Read your Bible from this day. Never misses devotion. He's that guy. Spirit, yet you've never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. You've got some attitude now, yeah? This is the church girl, the church guy, faithful now. All of a sudden, got attitude. But when the son of yours who has squandered your wealth with prostitutes, spent all the money, blah, 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 comes out, you kill the fat calf for him. And on and on, complains after complaining, complain and complain. The Bible's full of examples like this that never went to the promised land when complaining. 31, my son, the father said, you're always with me and everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So, I'm going to break this out really quick. There are three ways you can live this life. One, you can look to God for salvation. Two, a religious way to be your own savior. You know the one on the left, my left, your right, is the young son. He wanted to live his life the way he wanted to be. He just wanted rebellious, on purpose, intentional, everything. The next guy is the irreligious way to be your own savior. Do you know that you can be your own savior by the good guy being so good, overly good, too good to be true? It doesn't mean anything. You're still as lost as the younger son. That's the scary thing. The religious way to be your own savior. So I want you to remember those three things. Okay, there are three ways to live life. The only salvation through Jesus, which is the only way, or be your own savior, or you can be your own savior by being good, you can be your own savior by being bad. Doesn't make any sense, eh? You can be your own savior by being really, really bad, you can be your own savior by being really, 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 really good. Let me break it down even more. Irreligious is avoiding God and Lord by living as you want and disregarding God's laws. That's this guy over here. Everyone knows that. But this guy here, no one knows that. That's even more scary. Because no one knows about this guy. He seems he got it everything together. He's got everything right. Got his Bible, everything. Goes to Bible college, got degrees and masters coming out of his ears. But quietly in his heart, is still lost inside the church. Irreligious way is that guy on that side. But this guy on this side is religious or moralism. It's based on moralism, right? It's avoiding God as Savior and Lord by working very hard to be incredibly good and obeying God's law so that you feel then God owes you, just like the older son said to his father, where's my party? What about me? You know, I've been serving in church for 20 years. What's up? How come I'm not preaching? How come I'm not up there? How come I'm not a pastor? I'm not a missionary full time. I'm like, why am I not that? Why am I, you know? And all these things are beginning to happen because it was never like that. The father never had an intention like that. That was his heart. See, every single person, there's a basic operating system inside of every single person in this room. More like your default. What is your default? Are you, you know, if your default, if you scratch the surface a little bit more, are you kind of more like this guy inside your heart? Just rebellious, just want to prove yourself, prove the world that I got something. Or this side, I'm so good, I'm so amazing, I deserve something. Yeah? Your basic operating system in here. You want to prove something. You know, I know more than you. Jesus scratched the heart. Look, it's a scratch. It's done. I want you to look at it. Is it pretty? Or is it pure? Basic operating system in the human heart. What's the condition of yours? Yeah, when something gets taken away from you, you know how you know when you're not okay with the Lord? It's when somebody that's kind of your age together gets promoted in an area that you were hoping to be promoted. How you respond to that friend will determine the condition of your soul. If you can't go and congratulate them, ooh, put your hand in your heart and say, Lord, help me. Yep, it's the heart. Like Pastor Richard talked about, it really comes down to this. So as you go in 2018, ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hearts before God. Say, God, give me a new heart, Jesus, so I can serve you with all of my heart. I want to fast and pray like never before, God, because I want a heart like yours so I can serve with my whole heart, with purity and everything, so I can see the world change. But most of all, I'm good with you. Irreligious, I don't really have to obey anyone but myself, this guy here. Religious, I obey, therefore I'm accepted. I'm only accepted when I obey and I do things right. When your basic system heart says, speaks of this, see, if we do a test right now, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for to save you? You know, yes or no? I bet 100% everyone here will get it right. Because it's the right thing to say. It is. But only you would know and God would know if you operate like this. I obey, therefore I'm accepted. You want to do things right and then you're accepted. So please, let's examine ourselves. Which system are we operating in? The younger son or the older son? Grace. This is the third way of living. I hope we all get to live like this. Grace, I'm accepted by God at infinite cost to Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm blessed. Therefore, sit. Jared, aren't you worried that, you know? Nope. You know, we are born, we serve Jesus, and we take a nap. You know, all these things about leaving a legacy, look. Legacy will be there. The legacy and all that would be great. The end of the day, somebody else is going to come along and carry the thing on. Once you know that, I said to somebody, you know, what if God called you to go outside of workforce and not be a pastor? Man, I'll do it. You know why? Because that's what he told me. I'm so secure in his calling. Guess what's going to happen in that workforce? I'll be making disciples in that whole company. Every single one of them will be saved. Ain't nothing gonna change. Come on. I'm a Christian. I make disciples. Yeah. That is all. Whether I'm a pastor or not a pastor or cleaning at the back, it's still the same. Yes. I'm not worried or anxious. In my young days as a missionary, I did because I was so insecure and everything else that came along. But I'm at a point now where, you know, I love my family, my kids. I want to see them grow up to love Jesus. That's pretty much, I'm satisfied with that. So I'm accepted by God. That's grace. Last three points here. The third way to live in the grace of God is, which is what I just spoke about, is we need the initiating love of the Father. To understand that in John 3:16. See, to understand grace, you have to understand that God is the one that initiated it. It's not us. To understand Ephesians 2, by the grace of God we are saved, is that we have to understand that God is the one initiating it. Because otherwise you'll be, you know, you hear some testimonies. I used to do this. Okay, well, I went to this, and I came to this, and I did this, and therefore I got saved. But in reality, God so loved you so much, your stinky butt, you're sucked the knucklehead, you deserve to go to hell. He happened to open your heart to receive the gospel. That is grace. There is nothing to do with you, even though your friend reached out to you, and they were so good at preaching. God used them to get to you. By the end of the day, it was His initiating. Yes. Your heart opened because He initiated. If you're sitting inside here at church this morning, thank God He initiated it. Yes. Thank God He spoke to you through someone. Thank God He sent that campus missionary to speak to you. Thank God He sent that person to the gym to speak to you. Thank God He sent another person from another ministry to preach to you. Yes. It was always been Him and always will be Him initiating salvation. Yes. That is grace. For God so loved the world that He gave. We need to learn to repent. Not only for our bad things, but also for the reason we did our good things. So if you're the guy on this side, goody, goody, good shoe, got everything together, you need to repent. Because that guy is really good at repenting, but you find it hard to repent. Repent from all the good things that you do, because they're nothing to God. Unless your heart is tender and humble and say, I have been so religious, I cannot do 2018 ever again like this. I need to fall at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I am nothing, I am nobody. You know, in Fiji, it's really hard to, you know what the people in Fiji are really shocked about, especially even when they come to New Zealand, meet Pastor Rich and everybody else here. They're so used to elevating pastors as a level of respect that most Pacific Islanders do, that they don't even talk to them. So there's one guy came along, he's a doctor, he said, you know, I've been at this church for 20 years and I never spoke to my pastor. I'm like, why? Oh, I don't know. You're the first pastor I've talked to. Let's go have lunch. I'm like, and then they meet other pastors around, you know, from every nation. They're like, man, it was so amazing. They too have jokes. I said, bro, the only difference is mine's good, this dry. See, that's the only difference between us pastors. You know, some of us have good jokes, others dry, you know. And they're like, they're so amazed. So what I do, you know, my job at the church, I sit up every Sunday. I set up the gears every Sunday. They're looking at me like, what? Oh, no, Pastor, don't do that. I said, get away from here. What? I got to set the gear up. And they don't understand our job as serving the people. And they're still in shock of that as they begin to continue to meet you all. We don't operate like that. And that's the thing. That's what Jesus came. He came to serve. And we need to repent from all the good things. Some of us, we're doing good things so we can be recognized. That's not good either. We need to repent from that. Okay? The person here, that's too obvious. They already know. They're already condemned. We don't even need to condemn them anymore. They're already there. They know. I'm like, leave me alone. Just love on me. Then you can preach to me. Number three, we need to see what it costs to bring us home. Okay, in closing. Now, this is pretty amazing. Hebrews 2:10 says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what He suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers, and sisters. Let's go back to the parable. Now remember, the whole wealth that was divided to the two brothers was for them to take at the right time. One took early, and so this wealth, do you know where the money came from that threw the party? From the brother, or the brother's wealth, right? What should he have done when the younger brother comes home and repented? He should have said, man, you are home. You can take everything. Let's celebrate. He should have had a heart that is gratitude, right? And celebrate it with him. But the story tells us he did not. But instead, Jesus is our real older brother. He stepped in. The one telling the story, instead of that brother, I'm the older brother, the real older brother that will give his life, that will give his inheritance, that will give all his wealth to pay, to bring you home. It costed him everything to bring you home. Everything costs. Salvation cost. It costed Jesus, our older brother, greater older brother, to bring us home. Gladly died on the cross for our sins to bring you home. You didn't come to heaven for free. It costed him everything, his wealth and everything. He is our greater older brother, Jesus Christ. The other two things that the two brothers were after, they were both after the Father's things and not the Father. It was so sad. I want the brother's father's things now. I want his things too. How come he never threw a party? But they should have been after the Father, not his things. Question to you. What are you after? Are you after the things of God in 2018? Or are you after him in 2018? Are you after his presence? Are you after his spirit? Are you after and following him because you love him? You know that he first loved you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the grace of God. His unmerited favor on the younger son and also to the older son. Yet he cried out to him also. But the sad news, he did not repent. I hope that won't be you this morning. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, I pray, God, as you awaken our hearts this morning, Jesus, to follow you with all of our hearts, Father, I pray, God, that we would no longer operate like the younger son and come to him if I've never followed you before. And I pray, Jesus, for those that have been in Christianity for so long, yet still lost in the midst of busyness. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to them right now, God. Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would go deep. And for those that are in this room, I believe that you've been with God on and off for so long. Please know, God still loves you. He's coming for you. He is always for you and always will be for you. He is very patient. His grace is sufficient for you. My prayer this morning is that you would respond with a heart that is humble and say, God, I am nothing without you. I am in desperate need of you. If you are here this morning and that you felt the tug of God saying, pulling you, said, my son and my daughter, this morning is your time with me. Come and meet with me. Come and know me. Repent now and know that what I did for you 2,000 years ago, you don't have to do anything else other than saying yes. Trust in me, and everything that I've done was good enough for your salvation. Receive me now. If that's you this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for what you did for me 2,000 years ago. I may not understand everything, every detail, but I felt your love this morning. I felt what you did is enough, God. I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of trying to be good. Lord, today I am good only because you are good. Jesus, I receive you now by faith in Jesus' name. If that's you, pray that prayer. Will you please raise your hand? If you pray that prayer this morning, please raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. My next prayer. If you're in this room and you felt like you're the person on this side, you've been so good your whole life, but inside your heart, you know you are so lost. And the operating system was the older brother. If that's you, you want to renew your relationship with Jesus this morning, I would like to pray for you. If that's you, would you please raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for these precious hands. Father, I pray they will meet them personally, God, that they will grow to conform more into you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.